A person who examines any corner of the universe, from the giant galaxies in space to the living beings in nature, and from his own body to invisible cells, sees a flawless plan incorporating both order and design. Every spot of the universe overflows with a precise and explicit fact, the fact of creation. The miracle in DNA. Anyone with wisdom and conscience will understand, when he examines the living things around him, that they are created by a superior wisdom, knowledge, and power. Thinking of only a few of the requirements among the thousands that have to be fulfilled for life to emerge on Earth would be enough for this person to understand that the Earth is a specially created planet. In short, everyone who thinks, using his intelligence and conscience, can see the signs of God's existence in total clarity. For God created numerous signs in the heavens and the earth to enable people to know him. In our age, he has also given us the technical means to investigate the details of these signs. Given the technological facilities provided by today's technology, it is possible to learn about the wondrous features of the living things God flawlessly created and which bear closer witness to the complex structures they possess. Today, science and technology have taken such great strides that we currently possess means and knowledge unimaginable to people who lived a couple of centuries ago. The most important benefit from this information is it's doing away with some superstitious ideas handed down to our day from the past, and it's lightening the darkness brought by ignorance. These developments make our day a major milestone in history. One of the most important landmarks of this era is without doubt the fact that it has seen the end of the materialistic philosophy. Materialistic philosophy, once imposed on humanity under the guise of science, is ironically being defeated today by science itself. At this point, we think it would be helpful to recall the definition of materialism. Materialism, the philosophy which holds that everything is composed of matter and which denies the existence of God, is actually the contemporary version of paganism. Ancient pagans used to worship non-living beings like wooden or stone totem poles and considered them divine beings. In essence, showing great similarities with the beliefs of pagans, materialistic philosophy, on the other hand, bases its claims on the belief that man and all other beings are created by atoms and molecules. This view, too, considers inanimate material objects divine beings. According to this superstitious view, non-living atoms somehow organized themselves and over time acquired life and consciousness, finally bringing man into being. This superstitious belief of materialism is called evolution. The belief in evolution, first introduced in the pagan cultures of the ancient Sumerians and then the ancient Greeks, was in a way revived in the 19th century by a group of materialistic scientists and brought onto the world agenda. Charles Darwin is the best known of these scientists. The theory of evolution he advanced wasted the time of the world of science for 150 years, and despite its widely acknowledged flawed nature, has been hitherto sustained for purely ideological reasons. However, as mentioned earlier today, materialism is collapsing with a big bang. It is often stated that there were three important materialistic theorists who steered the 19th century: Freud, Marx, and Darwin. The theories of the first two were examined, tested, and proving to be invalid, subsequently rejected in the 20th century. Nowadays, the theory of Darwin is also collapsing. In particular, some important developments in June 2000 accelerated this great collapse of materialism. First, scientists carrying out experiments to exceed the speed of light made a discovery which turned all scientific premises upside down. In an experiment in which the speed of light was exceeded many times, the scientists observed with astonishment that the effect of the experiment occurred before its cause. This was the defeat of the claim of causality that was put forward on the basis of materialistic views in the 19th century. The subject was outlined in a newspaper under the headline, "It has been proved that effect without cause is possible, and that the end of an event can happen before its beginning." Indeed, the occurrence of the effect of an action before the action that seems to be its cause is scientific evidence that all events are created individually. This totally demolishes materialistic dogma. A few weeks later, it was revealed that Archaeopteryx, a fossil bird presented as the most important fossil evidence by Darwinists for more than a century, was actually not evidence for, but a blow to the theory. When another fossil, some 75 million years older than this fossil, which was allegedly the primitive ancestor of birds, and no different from modern birds, was discovered, evolutionists were shocked. On June 25, 2000, even journals which used to present Archaeopteryx as the primitive ancestor of birds were obliged to report news item headlined, "The ancestor of birds proved to be a bird." Finally, the Human Genome Program, an attempt to map a rough draft of the human genome, was concluded, and the details of the genetic information, which highlighted how superior God's creation of living beings is, have been revealed to mankind. Today, everyone who considers the results of this project and finds out that a single human cell contains enough information to be stored in thousands of encyclopedia pages grasps what a great miracle of creation this is. Nevertheless, evolutionists try to misinterpret this recent development, which, in truth, works against them, and present it as evidence for evolution. Unable to explain even how the DNA chain of a tiny bacterium originated, evolutionists try to deliver messages such as, "human genes resemble animal genes." Such messages are inaccurate and have no scientific value. They are designed to mislead society. Meanwhile, some press institutions, both because of their ignorance on the subject and their prejudiced approach, suppose that the Human Genome Project provides evidence of evolution and try to present it that way. In this study, the above-mentioned evolutionist misconceptions are explained, and the irrational and shallow nature of the objections raised to creation are clarified. In addition, the severity of the blow the recent findings have struck against Darwinism is explicitly revealed. False impressions and subjective interpretations made in the face of scientific facts are nothing but the last hopeless pleas of the advocates of materialistic philosophy which denies God. However, it should be known that in the 21st century, no matter which methods are employed and how much effort is spent, people will be saved from such deceptions as evolution and return to the real purpose of their creation. The progress of science makes it clear that living beings have an extremely complex structure and an order too perfect to have come into being by coincidence. This is evidence to the fact that living beings are created by an all-powerful creator with superior knowledge. Recently, for instance, with the unraveling of the perfect structure in the human gene, which became a prominent issue due to the Genome Project, the unique creation of God has once more been revealed for all to see. From the USA to China, scientists from all over the world have spent their best efforts to decode the 3 billion chemical letters in DNA and to determine their sequence. As a result, 85% of the data included in human beings' 22nd chromosome has been able to be sequenced properly. Although this is a very exciting and important development, as Dr. Francis Collins, who leads the Human Genome Project, states, so far, only the first step has been taken in the decoding of the information in DNA. In order to understand why the decoding of this information is taking so long, despite the current level of technology and the long time spent on it, we have to understand the great size of the information stored in DNA. In this context, we can describe DNA as a huge bank located in a small spot. The structure of DNA was not fully known until the middle of the 20th century. This giant molecule located in the nuclei of living cells was discovered only in the 1950s. Two evolutionist scientists, James Watson and Francis Crick, who discovered the structure of DNA, were staggered in the face of the mind-boggling structure they encountered. It was definitely impossible to explain the origin of this complex structure with evolutionary logic, that is, by coincidences. Francis Crick confessed this fact before long and admitted that the origin of DNA can only be explained by a conscious design. An honest man, armed with all the knowledge available to us now, could only state that, in some sense, the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle. So, what are the properties of DNA that forced even evolutionists to abandon the explanation of coincidence? DNA is a written plan, a detailed project of the human body. The molecule called DNA, which is found in the nucleus of each of the 100 trillion cells in our bodies, contain the complete construction plan of the human body. The information regarding all the characteristics of a person, from his physical appearance to the structure of the inner organs, from his facial features to the length of his fingers, from the dimple on his cheek to the shape of his eyebrows, are all recorded in DNA by means of a special coding system. The information in DNA is coded within the sequence of four special bases that make up this molecule. These bases, also called nucleotides, are specified as A, T, G, and C, according to the initial letters of their names. All the structural differences among people depend on the variations in the sequence of these letters. This is a sort of a databank composed of four letters. The sequential order of the letters in DNA determines the structure of a human being down to the smallest details. In addition to features like height, eye, hair, and skin color, the DNA in a single cell also contains the design of 206 bones, 600 muscles, a network of 10,000 auditory muscles, a network of 2 million optic nerves, 100 billion nerve cells, 130 billion meter-long veins, and 100 trillion cells in the body. The basic structure and functions of our organs are the same in every person. However, every person is created in such a detailed and special manner, with such subtle differences, that even though all people are created from the division of a single cell and have the same basic structure, billions of different people have come into existence. This is certainly a reflection of God's matchless artistry in creation. As we continue to examine the properties of DNA, we come across further miraculous detail. There are nearly 3 billion nucleotides in a DNA molecule. In other words, DNA is like a giant book comprising 3 billion letters. If we were to write down the information encoded in DNA, then we would have to compile a giant library consisting of 900 volumes of encyclopedias of 500 pages each. However, this incredibly voluminous information is encoded in the genes present in DNA, which is found in a nucleus that is far smaller than the microscopic cell, 1/100 of a millimeter long, wherein it is located. The information in human DNA is equivalent to the information included in such a large number of encyclopedias that they would fill a football field. In other words, this information would fill 900 encyclopedias of 500 pages each. Were one piece of information present in human genes to be read every second, non-stop, around the clock, it would take 100 years before the process was completed. If we imagine that the information in DNA were put in the form of a book, then these books, put on top of each other, would reach 70 meters high. What is even more impressive is that, as we have just described, all these pieces of information are squeezed into a tiny space, only 1/100 of a millimeter wide. How all living beings are able to live their lives with the proper structure lies in the flawless sequence of the billions of letters in the encyclopedias in their DNA. Not even a single letter error should be made in this sequence. A misspelled word or a letter error in any encyclopedia may be overlooked and ignored. It would not even be noticed. However, even a single mistake in any base pair of DNA, such as a miscoded letter in the 1,919,348,632nd base pair, would lead to terrible results for the cell, and therefore for the person himself. For instance, hemophilia, child leukemia, is the outcome of such an erroneous coding. Today, mathematics has proved that coincidence does not play a role in the formation of the coded information within DNA. The probability of the coincidental formation of even a single gene making up DNA is zero, let alone a DNA molecule of millions of base pairs. This is an evident truth which even evolutionists admit. Frank Salisbury, an evolutionist biologist, makes the following statement about this impossibility. A medium protein might include about 300 amino acids. The DNA gene controlling this would have about 1,000 nucleotides in its chain. Since there are four kinds of nucleotides in a DNA chain, one consisting of 1,000 links could exist in 4^1,000 forms. Using a little algebra, logarithms, we can see that 4^1,000 equals 10^600. 10 multiplied by itself 600 times gives the figure 1 followed by 600 zeros. This number is completely beyond our comprehension. As the evolutionist Salisbury confesses, DNA, with its perfect structure, seems to be challenging the claim of coincidence. The result of this mathematical calculation is indeed astounding. The probability of the coincidental formation of the code of an average protein in the human body in DNA is 4^1,000. In other words, 10^620. This means 1 followed by 620 zeros. This number, which is beyond even being astronomical, means in practice zero probability. The presence of such enormous information, and moreover, its being squeezed into such a place invisible to the human eye, can by no means be the result of coincidences and haphazard occurrences. All of these are signs that display the uniqueness and superiority of God's creation. Let us continue with a very important question. How did this information in DNA emerge? And how is this information so diverse in each species? The theory of evolution that seeks to explain entire life with coincidences is helpless in the face of the question of how DNA originated. Evolutionists are quite unable to explain how DNA first came into being. In the same way, evolutionists are also unable to answer the question of how fish, reptiles, birds, and even human beings, etc., came to possess different DNA and different types of information. The theory of evolution answers that question with the explanation that the body of information in DNA developed and diversified over time by means of coincidences. The coincidences evolutionists refer to are mutations. Mutations are changes which take place in DNA as a result of radiation or chemical action. Sometimes radioactive radiation happens to fall on a DNA chain and destroys or displaces several base pairs therein. According to evolutionists, living things have reached their present perfect state as a result of the diversification of a single DNA due to these mutations, i.e. accidents. Let us first consider this to show how unreasonable this claim is. Given the information it contains on the body and the design in the way it stores this information, DNA has an extremely sophisticated structure. Any external intervention in such a highly developed system would naturally destroy that system. A random change in a highly specialized device would not improve it, but damage it. In the same way, an earthquake does not form new buildings. On the contrary, it destroys existing ones. To show that this claim is unreasonable, let us compare DNA to a book again. We have already mentioned that DNA is made up of letters lined up sideways, just like in a book. Mutations are like the letter errors that occur during the typesetting of this book. If you like, we can do an experiment on this subject. Let us ask for a thick book about the history of the world to be typeset. During the typesetting, let us intervene several times and tell the typesetter to press one of the keys blindfolded and at random. Then, let us give this text containing letter errors to someone else and have him do the same thing over again. Using this method, let us have the book typeset from the beginning to the end several times, thus having a few more letter errors added to it at random each time. Could this history book ever develop by this method? For instance, would an additional chapter named The History of Ancient China, which was previously not present, emerge? Of course not. The letter errors we have added to the book would not develop it, but rather ruin it and distort its meaning. The more we increase the number of faulty copying processes, the more spoiled our book will be. Yet the claim of the theory of evolution is that letter errors help develop a book. According to evolution, mutations, errors, occurring in DNA have led to beneficial results by accumulating. For instance, they have furnished living beings with perfect organs such as eyes, ears, wings, hands, and consciousness-related qualities such as thinking, learning, and reasoning. Unquestionably, this claim is even more unreasonable than the above example of the addition of the chapter called The History of Ancient China to a book on world history as a result of an accumulation of letter errors. Moreover, there is no mechanism in nature that causes regular mutations, as in the example of the typesetter making regular mistakes. The mutations in nature take place much more rarely than the letter errors that would occur during the typesetting of a book. Every explanation put forward by the theory of evolution on the origin of life is unreasonable and unscientific. One outspoken authority on this issue is the famous French zoologist Pierre Grasse, the former president of the French Academy of Sciences. Grasse is also an evolutionist, but he states clearly that Darwinist theory is unable to explain life, and makes his point about the logic of coincidence, which is the backbone of Darwinism. The opportune appearance of mutations permitting animals and plants to meet their needs seems hard to believe. Yet the Darwinian theory is even more demanding. A single plant, a single animal, would require thousands and thousands of lucky, appropriate events. Thus, miracles would become the rule. Events with an infinitesimal probability could not fail to occur. There is no law against daydreaming, but science must not indulge in it. Indeed, the theory of evolution, which claims that inorganic matter came together by itself and formed living beings with such glorious systems as DNA, is a scenario totally contrary to science and reason. All this leads us to an evident conclusion. Since life has a plan, and all living beings are fashioned according to this plan, it is evident that there is a superior creator who devised this plan. This creator is God. All living beings are created by God, the all-powerful, all-wise. God states this fact in the Quran. He is God, the creator, the maker, the giver of form. To him belong the most beautiful names. Everything in the heavens and earth glorifies him. He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. Surat Al-Hashr, 24. As we have stated before, today what people have achieved by means of technology can at best be described as an approach to the understanding of a tiny fragment of God's knowledge as manifested in the human DNA. How did DNA, that is described as a giant databank, originate? This is the question that evolutionists can never answer, and that by itself demolishes the theory of evolution. The question of how such an extraordinarily designed molecule as DNA originated is one of the thousands of impasses evolutionists reach. Seeking to explain life by means of coincidence, the theory of evolution can never explain the source of the extraordinary information so perfectly and meticulously encoded in DNA. Moreover, the question is not only that of how the DNA chain originated. Even the existence of the DNA chain, with the extraordinary information capacity it contains, means nothing by itself. In order to refer to life, it is essential that the enzymes that read this DNA chain, copy this information, and produce proteins also exist. Enzymes are large molecules that have certain functions in the cell which they carry out with the precision of a robot. Simply put, in order to talk of life, both the databank we call DNA and the machines to carry out production by reading the data in the bank have to coexist. To our surprise, enzymes, which read the DNA and carry out production accordingly, are themselves produced according to the codes in the DNA. This means that there is a factory in the cell that both makes many different types of products and also manufactures the robots and machines that carry out this production. The DNA has to exist for the enzyme to exist, and the enzyme has to exist for the DNA to exist. For both to exist, on the other hand, the cell has to exist completely, down to its membrane and all the other complex organelles it contains. The question of how this system, which would be of no use with even a minor defect in any of its mechanisms, originated, is by itself enough to demolish the theory of evolution. German evolutionist Douglas R. Hofstadler states his despair in the face of this question. How did the genetic code, along with the mechanisms for its translation, ribosomes and RNA molecules, originate? For the moment, we will have to content ourselves with a sense of wonder and awe, rather than with an answer. Another evolutionist authority, world-renowned molecular biologist Leslie Orgel, is more outspoken on the subject. It is extremely improbable that proteins and nucleic acids, both of which are structurally complex, arose spontaneously in the same place at the same time. Yet it also seems impossible to have one without the other. And so, at first glance, one might have to conclude that life could never, in fact, have originated by chemical means. As Orgel states, saying life could never have originated by chemical means is the equivalent of saying that life could never have originated by itself. This fact is an evident proof that life was created in a conscious way. Evolutionists, however, do not accept this fact for ideological reasons, clear evidence of which is before their eyes. To avoid accepting the existence of God, they believe in nonsensical scenarios, the impossibility of which they are also convinced of. In his book, Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, about the invalidity of the theory of evolution, renowned molecular biologist Professor Michael Denton explains the unreasonable conviction of Darwinists. To the skeptic, the proposition that the genetic programs of higher organisms, consisting of something close to 1,000 million bits of information, equivalent to the sequence of letters in a small library of 1,000 volumes, containing in encoded form countless thousands of intricate algorithms controlling, specifying, and ordering the growth and development of billions and billions of cells into the form of a complex organism were composed by a purely random process is simply an affront to reason. But to the Darwinist, the idea is accepted without a ripple of doubt. The paradigm takes precedence. Indeed, Darwinism is nothing but a totally unreasonable, superstitious belief. Anyone with any reason would see the evidence for that great fact by looking at DNA or any other part of the universe. Human beings and all living things are created by God, the Almighty, who is the Lord of all the worlds. Today, all scientific research refutes the claims of the theory of evolution. One of the most recent examples of this is the Human Genome Project. As stated above, the completion of the Human Gene Map in June 2000 within the scope of the Human Genome Project was a very important scientific advance. However, some results of this project are being distorted in some evolutionist publications. It is claimed that chimpanzee genes bear a 98% similarity to human genes, and this is promoted as evidence for the claim that apes are related to humans. The object of this claim of similarity is nothing but an attempt to find evidence for the theory of evolution. In truth, however, the similarity between human and chimpanzee genes in no way constitutes evidence for evolution. This is fake evidence put forward by evolutionists who take advantage of the lack of knowledge about this subject in society. It must be clearly understood that the mapping of human genes today has not produced the result that humans and apes are related. One must not be deceived by those who try to exploit this progress, just as they do every scientific development. First, it should be stated that the concept of 98% similarity between human and chimpanzee DNA, frequently advanced by evolutionists, is deceptive. In order to claim that the genetic makeup of man and chimpanzee bear a 98% similarity, the genome of the chimpanzee also has to be mapped, just like that of man. The two have to be compared, and the result of this comparison has to be obtained. However, no such result is available, because so far, only the human gene has been mapped. No such research has yet been done on the chimpanzee. In reality, the 98% similarity between human and chimpanzee genes, which now and then enters the agenda, is a propaganda-orientated slogan deliberately invented years ago. This similarity is an extraordinarily exaggerated generalization grounded on the similarity in the amino acid sequences of some 30 to 40 basic proteins present in man and the chimpanzee. However, there are about 100,000 genes and therefore 100,000 proteins encoded by these genes in humans. For that reason, there is no scientific basis for claiming that all the genes of man and ape are 98% similar, just because of the similarity in 40 out of 100,000 proteins. Moreover, the above-mentioned basic proteins are common vital molecules present in various other living things. The structure of the same kinds of proteins, present not only in the chimpanzee, but also in completely different living creatures, is very similar to that in humans. For example, the genetic analysis published in New Scientist have revealed that 75% similarity between the DNAs of nematode worms and man. This definitely does not mean that there is only a 25% difference between man and these worms. According to the family tree made by evolutionists, the Chordata phylum, in which man is included, and the Nematoda phylum were different from each other even 530 million years ago. On the other hand, in another finding, which also appeared in scientific journals, it was stated that the comparisons carried out between the genes of fruit flies belonging to the Drosophila species and human genes yielded a similarity of 60%. In another case, analyses done on some proteins show man as closely linked to some very different living things. In a survey carried out by researchers in Cambridge University, some proteins of land-dwelling animals were compared. Amazingly, in nearly all samples, human beings and chickens were paired as the closest relatives. The next closest relative was the crocodile. All these examples clearly reveal that the similarity between DNA strands of two different categories of living beings by no means provides evidence for the claim that these living beings evolved from a common ancestor. Another example used by evolutionists on the genetic similarity between man and ape is the presence of 48 chromosomes in chimpanzees and gorillas versus 46 chromosomes in man. Evolutionists regard the closeness of the number of chromosomes as indication of an evolutionary relationship. However, if this logic used by evolutionists were valid, then man would have an even closer relative than the chimpanzee, the potato, because the number of chromosomes in potatoes is the same as that of man. Both have 46. These examples confirm that the concept of genetic similarity does not constitute evidence for the theory of evolution. This is because the genetic similarities are not in line with the alleged evolutionary schemes, and on the contrary, yield completely opposite results. Unsurprisingly, when the issue is evaluated as a whole, it is seen that the subject of biochemical similarities does not constitute evidence for evolution, but rather leaves the theory in the lurch. Dr. Christian Schwab, a biochemistry researcher from the Medical Faculty of South Carolina University, is an evolutionist scientist who has spent years searching for evidence for evolution in the molecular domain. In particular, he carried out research on insulin and relaxin-type proteins and tried to establish evolutionary relationships between living beings. However, he had to confess many times that he could not find any evidence for evolution at any point in his studies. In an article published in a scientific journal, he said, "Molecular evolution is about to be accepted as a method superior to paleontology for the discovery of evolutionary relationships. As a molecular evolutionist, I should be elated. Instead, it seems disconcerting that many exceptions exist to the orderly progression of species as determined by molecular homologies. So many, in fact, that I think the exception, the quirks, may carry the more important message. Based on the recent findings obtained in the field of molecular biology, the renowned biochemist Professor Michael Denton made the following comments. Each class at molecular level is unique, isolated, and unlinked by intermediates. Thus, molecules, like fossils, have failed to provide the elusive intermediates so long sought by evolutionary biology. At a molecular level, no organism is ancestral or primitive or advanced compared with its relatives. There is little doubt that if this molecular evidence had been available a century ago, the idea of organic evolution might never have been accepted. In the light of all these information, we can arrive at the following conclusion. Similarities are not evidence for evolution. It is surely natural for the human body to bear some molecular similarities to other living beings, because they are all made up of the same molecules, they all use the same water and atmosphere, and they all consume foods consisting of the same molecules. Certainly, their metabolisms and therefore genetic makeups would resemble one another. This, however, is not evidence that they evolved from a common ancestor. This common material is not the result of an evolution, but of a common design. That is, their being created upon the same plan. It is possible to explain this matter with an example. All construction in the world is done with similar materials: brick, iron, cement, etc. This, however, does not mean that these buildings evolved from each other. They are constructed separately by using common materials. The same holds for living beings as well. Life did not originate as the result of unconscious coincidences, as evolution claims, but as the result of the creation of God, the Almighty, the possessor of infinite knowledge and wisdom. In addition to all the information we have detailed so far, we think it would be helpful to emphasize another fact. Of course, there are very similar species on the Earth. For instance, there may be species similar to horses or cats. Insects, too, are very similar to each other. However, these similarities are not surprising to anyone. The rhinoceros beetle and the rhinoceros also resemble each other very closely. However, no one attempts to form an evolutionary relationship between these animals, one of which is an insect and the other a mammal. It is obvious that such an attempt would be quite ridiculous. However, for some reason, some superficial similarities between man and ape attract the attention of certain people. So much so that this attention leads some people even to adopt the imaginary scenarios of the theory of evolution. However, in truth, physical similarities between an ape and a man mean nothing. Other than the superficial similarity between them, apes are no closer to human beings than other animals. Moreover, when intelligence is used as a point of comparison, the bee, which produces the geometrical wonder of the honeycomb, or the spider, which produces the engineering wonder of the web, are closer to man than the ape. We can even say that they are superior in some aspects. Between man and ape, however, there is a tremendous gap, never to be closed by fairy stories. After all, an ape is an animal, no different from a horse or a dog in terms of consciousness. Man, however, is a being who has consciousness and will, who can think, talk, reason, decide, and judge. All these qualities are functions of the spirit he possesses. The most important difference that causes this huge gap between man and other living beings is this spirit. No physical resemblance can close this gap between man and other living beings. The only being that has spirit in nature is man. In the Quran, this superior quality which man possesses and which differentiates him from other living things is referred to as follows. Then he formed him and breathed his spirit into him and gave you hearing, sight, and hearts. What little thanks you show. Surat As-Sajdah 9. As mentioned before, with the announcement of the latest point arrived at in the Human Genome Project, some incorrect comments were made. In particular, some publishing organs started to deliver misleading messages and misinform the public so that the impasse the theory of evolution has reached were not further revealed. Earlier, we mentioned the misleading messages evolutionists gave about genetic similarities and made it clear that these are subjective interpretations which do not provide any evidence for the theory of evolution. The subject which is mostly promoted and highlighted with different slogans and headlines by the Darwinist materialist press is the claim that the discovery of the gene map suggests that the fate decreed by God can be challenged. This is a great misconception and deception put forward by certain circles. The headlines recently appearing in the printed press and in the course of discussions in television programs give the impression of a stealthy indoctrination. It is a great mistake to present the information on the Human Genome Project accompanied by messages like, "Man will no longer be defeated by his destiny." For in truth, the mapping of the human genes has no relevance whatsoever to the flow of man's fate. It will be useful to give the definition of destiny to help eradicate the distorted understanding of destiny so prevalent in society. Destiny is God's perfect knowledge of all events, past or future, as a single moment. A majority of people question how God can already know events that have not yet been experienced, and this leads them to fail to understand the fact of destiny. However, events not yet experienced are only so for us. God is not bound by time or space, for he himself created them. For this reason, past, future, and present are all the same to God. For him, everything has already taken place and finished. This is true for everyone and every event. For instance, God has created everyone with a certain lifetime, and everyone's moment of death is determined as to its location, time, and form in the sight of God. If, in the years to come, someone's lifetime is extended with timely interventions in the genes, this would not mean that this event evaded that person's destiny. It simply means the following. God gave this man a long life, and he made the completion of gene mapping a means for his life being long. The discovery of the gene map, that person's living in that period, and that person's life being extended by scientific means are all his destiny. All is determined in the sight of God before this person is born into the world. Similarly, someone whose fatal sickness is cured through the discoveries made within the scope of this project has again not changed his destiny. That is because it is this person's destiny to recover from this illness by means of this project. Consequently, completion of the Human Genome Project and the fact that man will be able to intervene in the genetic makeup do not mean confronting the destiny created by God. On the contrary, in this way, mankind follows the developments created for it by God and explores and benefits from the information created by God. If a man lives 120 years, thanks to these scientific developments, this is surely a lifetime decreed for him by God. That is why he lives so long. In brief, expressions like, I cheated fate, I changed my destiny, or I intervened in my destiny, are the consequence of ignorance caused by not knowing the facts about fate. On the other hand, a person's using these expressions is also predestined. How, when, and under which conditions he will make these statements are all determined in the sight of God. When the Human Genome Project became a top issue, some publications made yet another different claim. They alleged that by the advancement of the science of genetics, human beings will be cloned, and therefore human beings will create human beings. This too is a very distorted and far-fetched logic. Creating means to bring something into being from nothingness, and this act is peculiar to God alone. The formation of the identical copy of a living being through the copying of genetic information does not mean that this living being is created. When a man or any other living being is cloned, the cells of a living being are taken and copied. However, never has a single living cell been created from nothingness by man. Consequently, the discovery of the human genetic makeup by no means implies man's challenge to his destiny, and it never can. Every incident, every act of speech, and development are all predetermined in the sight of God according to a certain destiny. So are scientific developments and the innovations they will introduce. God is all-knowing and all-encompassing. The fact that everything, big or small, takes place within the knowledge of God is related in the Quran as follows. You do not engage in any matter or recite any of the Quran or do any action without our witnessing you while you are occupied with it. Not even the smallest speck eludes your Lord, either on earth or in heaven, nor is there anything smaller than that or larger, which is not in a clear book. Surah Yunus 61. This is the truth. Man is a being created by God with all his wonderful features and who is subject to the destiny he ordains. When a person grasps this fact, he sees that everything takes place in a single moment in God's sight. With this comprehension, the earth starts to seem like paradise for man. All kinds of material troubles, distress, and fears disappear. The man resigns to the destiny God created for him and starts to watch the flow of this perfect destiny. For a person to grasp this secret is the greatest success in the world. This program is based on the book by Harun Yahya, The Miracle of DNA.